good to be here. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. If Todd and Lynn's watching, I wanted to know how much I love them in Harbury. And our heart hurts for them. And they are precious, precious, precious people. And I've told them this before, I feel as comfortable in their home as I do almost in my own. I've been in their home so many times, and they have ours. But if you're watching, boy, we love you. Really love you, you and Lynn. Trust the Lord to get you through what you're going through. And He will. He will. You know, Romans 8:28 is more than just a verse of Scripture. It's more than just a verse of Scripture. It's a life. It's a life that we've experienced, all of us, at one time or another. You know, all things work together for good. Not to everybody. Not to everybody. But all things work together for good. To them that love God. And here's the kicker. And the called according to His purpose. His purpose. I want to look here in these first six verses and read them of Romans 5 and hopefully bring a message I've titled Grace Transforms or Transforming Grace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Now the grace of God, it says there the grace wherein we stand. We have access by Christ into this grace wherein we stand. And I know this, that where the grace of God comes, and salvation's by grace, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But where God brings His grace, and where God puts the grace towards a person, it also brings salvation. It brings salvation with it. It's produced by it. Comes from God. And it also brings a transformation. When grace comes, it transforms you. It transforms a lot of things. Paul said over in Colossians, he said, we give thanks unto the Father, who hath made us meet, made us fit, made us able to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath translated us, took us from one place, translated us from the power of darkness, and translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. And you go from one place of darkness, and then you go over here in the kingdom of His Son. Now you tell me that ain't a transformation. You tell me that God didn't do something when He takes you out of here and puts you over here. When He brings you out of the grave and gives you life. When He takes you when you're blind and gives you sight. He takes you when you're deaf and gives you ears to hear. Now that's a pretty radical transformation, isn't it? And I'll tell you something about grace where it comes and brings this salvation and transformation. It transforms a person's character. I mean, it really changes a person's character. And I'll tell you something else that it does. It transforms all their relationships. Relationships don't stay the same. They don't stay the same. And the relationships with the world, that changes. And I relate, you know, you look at all the different people in this congregation today. God so transformed us by the grace of God that we all have different ideas, different opinions about a lot of things, political philosophy, social standing, different education levels, and all kinds of different things about us. But God, in His blessed grace, made us all, brought us all together, and makes us all one, and puts us all on the same ground, and we're glad to stand there. Ain't that right? Only grace can do that. Only grace can do that. And the Scriptures are clear. The Scriptures are plain. They're emphatic about being new creatures. You know, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. That means that there was a time that he wasn't. But if he's in Christ, God made a new creature out of him. And old things are passed away. The law's passed away. Sin's passed away. All these old things are passed away. And I tell you, not only does it talk about us being made new creatures in Christ, but about being partakers of the divine nature. And that means that God gives us, makes us a partaker of His blessed nature. He puts His nature in us. Christ dwells in us by faith. And here's the whole situation about that. Now, let me ask you something. You know, I've talked to people, and maybe you have too, that they don't, you know, they don't hardly believe that you know, when you say you're a partaker of divine nature and that you're holy and you don't have to do anything to be that way, they think that's strange. But let me ask you something. What was it that God did for you and that made you to see God, understand God, call on God, read the Bible, understand the Bible, and talk to God? What nature is in you that caused you to do that? It's not the old nature, I know that. It's that new nature. It's that partaker of the divine nature. God puts His nature in us, and you'll not know God until He does that. And I tell you, that's the only way we can commune with Him. That's the only way we can fellowship with Him. That's the only way we can enjoy Him, is by that. And I tell you, we cease to be our own. We cease to be our own. We're bought with a price, with the precious blood of Christ. But I want to look at this statement there in verse 2, where it says, by faith also we have access into this grace wherein we stand. I want to look at this grace wherein we stand. And look how this grace changes our relationships. Look how it changes our relationships. You know the first relationship it changes with us? With God Himself. Look what it says in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Do you remember you didn't have peace with God? I remember very well. I remember very well trying to have peace with God. Doing all kinds of works and legalists and being a self-righteous Pharisee. Oh, never, never was satisfied with myself and could never have peace with God. But the Scripture says that we were enemies in our minds. By wicked works, alienated from the life of God. But we're no longer enemies in our minds. And the carnal mind that says that it's not subject to the law of God. And now, beloved, we don't have that carnal mind. We're no longer under the wrath of God. I was told some folks this morning, I remember where I was at, what I was doing, the chair I was sitting in, and what I was reading. And I was just a legalist. I was a fundamentalist. And I knew the Bible. I could quote Scripture just you know, and thought that would impress people. Well, come to find out, it didn't impress God. Certainly don't impress people. But here's the thing about it. I was sitting there and I started learning and started reading and God began to teach me the gospel. And I was sitting there and I read there where it said, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And that Jesus Christ saved us from the wrath to come. And I knew right then and there that I'm not under God's wrath anymore. And I so rejoiced, I hollered and I whooped and I carried on. And you think I get loud now, you ought to have been there then. I found out God wasn't mad at me anymore. God wasn't mad at me, and I didn't have to try to make peace with Him. Oh, to try to make peace with God. Preachers say all the time, make your peace with God. We can't make peace with God. There's no way we can make peace with God. We ain't had peace. The only peace you'll ever know is what God gives. We ain't won a war since World War II. And we haven't had no honor as a nation, but I'm telling you, when God Himself If you ever have peace with God, God's got to be the one to bring that peace. He establishes that peace. And you know how He did it? He did it through the blood of His blessed Son. God made peace with honor. That's what I'm telling you. Oh, listen, when he comes in, the white flag comes down, everything comes down, all the weapons are laid down, all the enmity set aside, everything's over and done with. And God comes and He made peace through the blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what He said. By faith we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We didn't make this peace. God's the only one. And now we have peace with God. And you know, here's the thing about it. Because I have peace with God, I don't have to enjoy a lot of peace in my heart as long as I know God's at peace with me. That's what counts. Is God at peace with me? Is God no longer angry at me? Is God accept me? Will God let me into His presence? Will God look at me and say, I approve of Him? You know, I tell you, I've got more confidence in what He knows about me than I know about Him. And I tell you, here's another thing that transforms our relationship, not only with God the Father, but with the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Oh my, with our Lord Jesus Christ. Look what it says. It says, by whom also, through Jesus Christ, we also stand in this grace wherein we stand. You know, look down here with me in Romans 5:12. Look at this. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. That's where we were, sinners, without God, without hope in this world. But look what it says back up in verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Look in verse 8. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were ungodly. You know what it takes to be ungodly? Just to be without God. That's all it is. That's all it amounts to, being without God. We were sinners, and God commended His love toward us. And I tell you, our Lord Jesus Christ, our relationship so changed with Him. Look down verse 19. Now here we were in Adam. Do you know, when Adam sinned in the garden, that was a catastrophic event. I mean, that event has affected the whole human race from the creation. It's had a catastrophic effect upon this world and everybody in it. And the only way is this catastrophic. Catastrophe. I'll get it right. Told you we was all different. I can't even talk. But anyway, when Adam sinned, we got in trouble. Everybody understand that? I mean bad trouble. Real trouble. It affected the whole human race. It affected every human being. It affected every baby come into this world and every old man that leaves this world. It affected them. But our Lord Jesus Christ came into this world where we lost everything in Adam. But look what it says down in verse 19. Oh, what a relationship. It changed our relationship with Christ. Oh, what a relationship we had of Adam. Sin, death, condemnation. But look what here. For as one man's disobedience, we were made sinners. So by the obedience of one, just one man, the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Not lost in Adam, saved in Christ. Dead in Adam, life in Christ. And back over here, look with me now, down here in verse 9 and 10. Talking about our relationship with Christ. Oh, listen, I tell you what. I didn't even have a relationship with Christ until He taught me. But look what He says down here in verse 9. God commends His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, Paul has this way of saying things. He tells us something that took place, and he said, if you think that's something, you really think that's something, much more. I'm going to just add a little bit more to it. He says, much more. Then, being now justified by His blood, God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. It's the blood that makes reconciliation for sin. It's the blood that God said puts away sin. It's the blood. And being justified by His blood, we're saved from wrath through Him. Now listen to this. If we were enemies of Christ, and we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, again, here He goes, much more. We shall be saved by His life. If His death saved us, if His blood justifies us, then how much more, because He's alive right now, sitting at God's right hand, how much more shall we have life because He lives? His blood justified us, His death saved us, and now He lives to ensure that we're going to stay saved. Huh? And then we have His righteousness given to us. And all, it's only by Him. Our standing is in Him and Him alone. We believe God's record of His Son being justified by faith. You know, people say, well, what in the world can I boast about? What's my part in this? Where's my part in it? Where's boasting then? It's excluded. You can't have it. Well, why in the world can't you? Well, by what law? What reason can I boast? By the law of faith. By law of faith. Believing. Not doing, but believing. Believing. And then let me tell you another relationship that changed with us. Look down here in verse 5. Oh, not only did He change our relationship, grace when it came, changed our relationship with God. We have peace with Him. With our Lord Jesus Christ. He died and undone Adam's awful sin, awful, catastrophic, got it, catastrophic event that took place. And oh, listen, look what He says. And hope maketh not ashamed, verse 5. And we have changed our relationship with the Holy Spirit. For the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So our relationship with the Father, our relationship with the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit, all of these relationships been changed. And I tell you, the Holy Ghost came and shed abroad in our hearts the love of God. You know, we love Him because He first loved us. And He was given to us. He said He was given unto us. He was given to us by promise. God promised. He says, you go and tarry in Jerusalem and you'll receive the promise of the fathers. The promise of the Holy Spirit. Our Lord Jesus said, I'm going away. I'm going away. But I'm going to give you a comforter. I'm going to come to you in another form, in another way. I'm going to come to you by the Spirit of truth, by the comforter. I'm going to come to you. And when He comes, He's going to lead you. He's going to guide you. He's going to teach you. He's going to bring you into all truth. And I tell you, He has given to us to teach us. To guide us, to comfort us. And you know what love was shed abroad in our hearts? God's eternal love was shed abroad in our hearts. He loved us with an everlasting love. And then the love of Christ was shed abroad in our hearts. He said, having loved His own, He loved them to the very end. And then the electing love of God was shed abroad in our hearts. You see, and you know, we wouldn't even know we're children of God but by the Holy Spirit. Look what He said in Romans 8:16. We wouldn't even, you know how we know we're children of God? Look what He said there in 8:16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, what in the world are you talking about here? Well, when a person's preaching the gospel and a person is dealing with the scriptures, the Spirit that's in you answers to the Spirit of the Holy Ghost and comes to the Spirit of Christ in the Scripture. And when you hear the truth in that, you'll say, amen. That's so. That's true. I believe that. And you're responding. Why? Because the Spirit of God makes witness to your spirit that you are the child of God. While you're listening. While you're listening. And I tell you what, I know this. I get more. My greatest assurance is when I'm sitting and listening to somebody preach. I get my greatest assurance sitting and listening to somebody preach. I delight to hear somebody, I love to hear somebody preach the gospel. Me just sitting and listening to somebody. And while they're doing that, my heart is saying, yes, 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 yes. Why is that? Because your spirit, the Holy Spirit in you, is responding to the Word. Listen, I'm a child of God. That's what happens when people find out that they converted. You know, some people sit around and they'll say, boy, I wonder if I'm saved. I'm wondering if I'm saved. Then one day they'll hear something and they'll say, yes, I got it. Yes, I see it. What happened? Holy Spirit says, you're one of mine. Let me tell you something else it does. It changes our relationship to the law. Look over here in Romans 4:5-20. It changes our relationship to the law. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. Paul said it this way. He says, the sin became exceeding sinful by the commandment. God gave the law to give us a knowledge of sin. God gave the law to make us know how evil we truly are. And the law, all it did was made sin to be what it is, exceeding sin. And we're condemned and we're guilty, whether we felt it or whether we not. We were under its curse, whether we knew it or whether we not. There's people that you don't have to feel guilty to be guilty. You don't have to be condemned to feel condemned. That's what's going to shock folks when they get into eternity. Well, I didn't know I was condemned. Well, you'll know there, but listen, you don't have to be. But whether we felt it or not, and sin finds its strength in the law. You know what I mean by that? Sin finds its strength in the law. Let me tell you how, I'm going to tell you how to find out how that works. When you all get to the house, when you get out in the car with your wife, say, now listen, I'm going to lay down the law to you. I'm going to lay down the law to you. This is the way it's going to be from now on. If you ever do this or do that or do something else, it's going to be trouble. For the very minute you start laying down the law, you know what's going to happen? You're going to have a fight. That's right. Huh? Want me to lay down the law to you? Oh, listen. I want this done at 1 o'clock. I want this done at 3 o'clock. And if you don't get that done by 5 o'clock, you're going to... Listen, there ain't no love in that. But that's what the law does. The law comes, all it can make you do is fight against it. Make you angry. There's very few people can bear having someone have authority over them. And I mean, you know, a boss comes around quick as he leaves and says, boy, I wish they'd get rid of him. That guy ain't got sense enough for nothing. It's hard to be under authority to anybody. And they'll show their hatred, their resistance, their struggling, their murmuring. That's proof of their sin. You put somebody under law and you're going to make somebody sin and sin greatly. You put somebody, and this is amazing to me, how that a man can preach grace and say you go to the cross and you get your sins put away there. There's where your sins are taken care of once and for all. And then they turn back around and tell you that the law is your rule of life. How can that possibly be? When it says we're justified by faith. We live by faith. Not by law, we live by faith. And I tell you this, you know what fulfills the law more than anything else? Love. Love. You love somebody, you don't need no law. If you love somebody, you know you've got a ring, you've got a wedding certificate, You've got evidence that you've been married. You've got licenses and you've got things on the wall, you know. But listen, a ring don't make you married. A preacher don't make you married. A certificate don't make you married. And a license don't make you married. You know what makes a marriage? Love. Not law, love. And oh my, I despise that business of that. Now let me show you this. Not only are we not under, not, you know, changed our relationship with the law. Look down here in verse 16, or 14 of chapter 6. Oh, look what it says here now. Not under law, but under grace. Where grace, where sin, where the law entered, grace did much more abound. But look here in verse 14, Romans 6. For sin shall not have dominion over you. There was a time that sin had was. It's a sovereign. It's got power. It's got authority. It's got might. It's got great strength. And Scott says, so powerful that a man cannot save himself from it. It's got a power that man says, well, stop your sinning. Oh, I'd love to. I'd love to. But oh my, but you're not under law. You know why sin won't have dominion over you? Because you're not under law. Ain't nobody got a finger at you. You're condemned. You're guilty. You should have done that. You hadn't have done, shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have thought that. You shouldn't have went here. You should have dressed this way. You should have dressed that way. Dressed somewhere else. And then they'll come with that law, with just wagging the finger, putting that law at everything you do. But you're not under law. You're under grace. Oh my. And I tell you what, you know, when we talk about we're not under the law, that means, beloved, we're not under the law as a covenant, as a curse, a condemnation. And then it says, what then? We're under grace. What then? Are we going to continue to sin because we're not under the law? We don't have to go under bondage, but under grace? God forbid. Oh, you know what we're under? Now instead of the reign of sin, we're under the reign of grace. We're under the reign and power of love, life, and liberty. Oh, listen, grace reigns where it does. Love reigns. Life reigns. Freedom reigns. Oh, His blood cleanses us from guilt. And where the guilt's gone, the freedom and power is gone. Stand fast in that liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Sin's manifested. Let me give you four ways sin's manifested. And I tell you, listen, every one of you will understand this. First of all, sin's deceitful. It's a very deceitful thing. Very deceitful. You'll see something and there'll be a temptation, and a temptation comes along and Satan paints this pretty, pretty picture and says, oh, listen, you can do that. You can do that. Nobody will know anything about it. And you know, and it just makes it look so good. But after it comes along, it deceives you. And then you sin, and then it keeps on deceiving you. Because, you know, it's like somebody saying, well, if God don't like what I'm doing, why don't He strike me dead? If He did that to everybody that ever said that, to half of the world be dead. Why don't He strike me dead? But that's what I'm saying is, sin is deceitful. Sin is deceiving. Once you start it, it just keeps deceiving you and deceiving you. And not only that, but sin is hard. Very hard. It's hard. Hard sin's hard. It'll make you hard. It'll make you cold. It'll make you lifeless. It'll make you mean. And not only is it hard, but it's hardening. It'll harden your heart. It'll harden your mind. It'll harden your feelings. It'll harden your relationships. It'll harden. And then let me give you this in right quick. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4. Let me give you this. In all these relationships that's changed because of grace, these relationships has changed. Look in Galatians chapter 1. Oh my. It's changed our relationship with God, with Christ, with the Holy Spirit. With law, our relationship's changed. Changed. I'm not going to get under the law, and I don't want nobody else under the law. I won't be under grace. Grace is what I need. Grace is what I got to have. Grace is what God gave me in Christ before the world began. Amazing grace, how sweet is that blessed sound. But look what he said here in verse 3 of Galatians chapter 1. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen now. Who gave Himself for our sins. Gave Himself for our sins. All our sins. All the sins. When He died for us, we didn't know sin. But oh, He delivered us, saved us from all our sins. And then He goes on to say this, that He might save us. Save us. Bring us salvation. Deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God, our Father. Oh, He saves us from this present evil world. We once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. The world's got a course. And the course says if you want to be successful, this is what you got to do. If you want to be popular, this is what you got to do. If you want to have a lot of friends and influence a lot of people, this is what you got to do. You got to go certain places. You got to be around certain people. Got to have certain education. You got to dress a certain way. You got to do all these things. The world says this is what it takes to make it. It's what it takes to make it. And God, we say, well, we're not walking according to that course anymore. God saved us out of this evil world. And the world's evil. Oh, how evil it is. The government's evil. Religion's evil. The economy's evil. Man's evil. Religion's evil. Evil, evil, evil. Everywhere you look, there's evil. It's an evil world. It's a wicked world. It's a cruel world. There's one man down home, every time he sees me, he says, Donnie, how's the world treating you? He does it just to aggravate me. And you know what I've told him every time he's asked me that? I said, the world has never, ever been good to me. Never been good to me. When I came back from Vietnam, I spent 18 months in hospitals. And I had a lot of friends, a lot of people that I knew. But you know, not one of them visited me. Not one of them said, what can I do for your family? Not one of them said, I love you. What can I do? Can I come help you? I'm going to come spend the day with you. Not one of them done that. Not one person in the world. Nobody in the world has ever treated me right. You know who's ever treated me right? God. You know who ever treated me right? The Lord Jesus Christ. You know who treated me right? The Holy Ghost. You know who treats me right? God's people. God's people treat one another right. They love one another. And they're going to watch out for one another. You know, every one of you right now, you think about Todd. You pray for Todd. What can I do for Todd and Lynn? What can we possibly do for them? That's what you think. And then only if you know what he'll say, pray for us. Pray for us. And I tell you, that's what I'm talking about. We've been chosen out of the world. We've been called out of the world. We've been redeemed from the world. We're in it. You all have to go to work. You have to go shopping. You have to do banking. You have to make house payments. You have to buy insurance. You have to do all those things. And you do them. But you're not of the world. You do them because that's what it takes. And that's what you're doing. And oh my. Well, let me give you one more. I'm taking too much time. But let me give you another one back over here in Romans 5. Let me give you another thing to change our relationship in Romans 5. Let me give you another one. It changes our relationship to our trials, to our afflictions, to our burdens. You know, he says there, said, not only we have this, verse 2, we have access by faith into this grace through Christ wherein we stand, rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, but we rejoice, and oh, listen, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Now, how in the world does he mean what you're talking about? Tribulation means trouble. 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 You know, in Romans 14, it says, he asked this question. There was a great multitude standing there. And this angel asked John, said, John, where'd all these people come from? Where'd they come from? He said, Lord, now, sir, you know. He said, these that are came out of great tribulation and washed their robes white and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, let me tell you something. It's through much tribulation that we enter into the kingdom of God. And our relationship, when we were lost, when we were unconverted, our trials and they were considered our enemies. They weren't for our good. But God says that they're for our good. And we glory in our tribulations. What do you mean? How many times has God taken you and put you in a great, great trial? Put you and afflicted you. And let me tell you something. Most of our afflictions are inward. Most of our afflictions are inside of us. It goes on within us. But we have these trials and we have these burdens and these tribulations. And we get through them and we go back and we glory and say, well, listen, you know, God got me through that. God got me through that. And then look what he says here. We know that tribulation, after we get through that and God gets us through it, it works patience. You get through this thing, you say, I don't know if I can get through it or not. I don't know if I'm going to get through this. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it through this trial. I don't know if I'll be able to stand through this. But then that trial's over, and then that tribulation, it works patience. You wait, and you wait, and you wait on God. Be still, know that I'm God. And then this patience, what it does, you go through that, and then you have this experience. You've experienced this thing. You've experienced tribulations. You've experienced God saving you from it. Experienced God saving. And then experience gives you this blessed hope. And it goes over and over and over again. On and on and on. And you know over in 1 Corinthians 4, 2 Corinthians 4, it says there that our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us, works for us an exceeding eternal weight of glory. Now, what in the world does he mean, a light affliction? Well, in light of what Christ suffered, it's a very, very light affliction. In light of what we deserve, it's a very, very light affliction. In light of eternity, it's a very, very light affliction. Because it lasts just for a moment. And all these trials and all these afflictions, they're working to bring us to the place where this old tabernacle will be dissolved and we'll have a building made of God without hands. And we're more than conquerors through Him. And I tell you, we're, our trials and afflictions, we have a different relationship to it. Different relationship to it. And then let me tell you this one, and then I'm done. Look in 1 Corinthians 15. Look in 1 Corinthians 15. Talking about changing a relationship. It changed our relationship to death. To death. Look what he says here in verse 55. Oh, death. Oh, death. He's talking to death. Oh, death, you're a frightening thing. Oh, death, you're a dark thing. Oh, death, here you come with your grim reaper. There you come with your scythe. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, talks to the grave. Where is your victory? Oh, my. He said, the sting of death is sin. You know, and if we ain't got no sin, it ain't got no sting in it. Word Christ took when He went to the cross, He took the stinger out of it. He took sin out of it. He took sin put away. And I tell you, that's why we don't have the sting of death. And I tell you what, thanks be unto God which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It changed our relationship to death. Before grace came, death was called that old grim reaper. He always come in an old, dark, black-looking thing, you know. But you know what he is now? He's a dear, dear friend. A dear friend that one of these days gonna come and say, it's time. Come on. It's time. It's time. It's your time. Come on. Who are you taking me? I'm going to take you to your friend of all friends. I'm going to take you to the Lord. I'm going to take you up to the presence of Christ. Oh, my. We was talking back at the study. I've been with some folks and seen them take their last breath. And the minute that breath leaves them, I lift up my hands and say, Lord, I thank you. They are not here anymore. They're with you. They go from, you know, you think about it. They go from here, one minute they're laying there, take their last breath, and the next breath they take's in glory. Why would you be afraid of that? Why would anybody be afraid of that? Well, it's according to how I die. It don't make any difference. You know, you may get hit by a car, may have a wreck, may die of a heart attack, may lose your mind. But it don't make, if God's going to take us. And that's the most blessed thing. And when we get there, we're going to know Abraham, we're going to know Isaac, we're going to know Jacob. And here's the thing about it, all the people that's went before us, there won't be no earthly relationships. Oh my, death. I was telling this morning, well, when I was a kid, I lived in some places that was, oh my goodness, it's tough. The water bucket would be froze up in the winter and you'd have to build up a fire on an old cook stove and heat the water bucket so you could have a drink of water, wash your face. It'd be froze. And you stay in these old houses and the wind blowing through them cracks and snow get up on the second story. You have so many, and you'd have so many blankets on you couldn't even turn over. And you know, you fry an egg and you put it on the plate and the lard you put it in, the minute you put it on your plate, it turned white. And you know, didn't have an inside bathroom, didn't even have electricity. You had to go out there and use a Sears catalog. Corn shucks. Whatever they had. But I mean, now who in the world wants to go back to living like that? But that's the kind of bodies we got. That's the kind of bodies we got. When I first started coming up here, I had darker hair. And all y'all had little bitty kids. And now your kids are gone. Done went to college. Some of them done graduated from college. And these bodies are getting weak, they're getting frail. Who wants to stay in an old, drafty, leaky, sorry body that's just getting weaker and weaker and weaker? And oh my, I don't want to go back to living in them drafty houses. I don't want to go back to a frozen water bucket. I want to go someplace where it's perfect unto Him that's able to present you faultless before His presence with eternal glory. That's what I'm looking forward to. Oh, to go will be with Him. People say, I want to go up there and see my mother. A woman asked me today, she said, don't you think we'll know one another when we get there? I said, we probably will, but I mean, it won't be no earthly relationships. When I see my mother-in-law, I won't know her. Well, there's my mother-in-law over there. There's my father-in-law. That's not the way it's going to be. I'll know that I know them. But it won't be no earthly relationship whatsoever. Flesh will not be there. Oh, death, you don't scare me. Oh, grave, put me in there. You know why? Because there's coming a day when the Lord shall descend with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and He'll descend from heaven, and He'll bring the saints with Him, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And they which are alive, the dead in Christ, are going to rise before those that are alive. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And then they which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to be with Him forever, ever, and ever. And you know what He said next with that? Comfort one another with these words. Huh? Oh. That's why when I don't care, and I know it's hard on people to lose people they love. It's hard. I'm not minimizing that. But oh my, anybody that you've ever known that God's called into that next world, called them home to be with Him, it never entered your moment. Mine, not for one second. Oh, if I could just have another moment with them. Never enters your mind. I'd like to say one more word. Oh no, no, no. Why would you bring them back? Why would you bring them back? And then they say, these people, oh, mama's watching us from heaven. That wouldn't be heaven if somebody could see down here and see what's going on. Wouldn't be no heaven in that. Huh? Well, I tell you, grace changed our relationship. And just look at what a relationship just gave us. Huh? You know, that changed all our relationships. We wouldn't even know one another, have anything to do with one another, if it wasn't for the grace of God. Ain't that right? You see me out somewhere and say, "What? Look at that poor old pitiful old man." That's what you say. That poor old guy, I wonder what in the world his problem is. You know, that's what you'd see if you see me. You know, outside of Christ. But because this relationship we have in Christ, here we are. We have these wonderful relationships. We can hug one another, love one another, enjoy one another, delight in one another, love to have one another in our homes. How'd all that happen? Grace. Grace. Lord bless you all.